Let's turn back now to the scripture which I read a moment ago, John 6. When you read this chapter later today, you'll find in the earlier verses our Lord had fed the multitude. You remember he taught this vast multitude and then suggested to the disciples that they feed the multitude. And one of the disciples said, "Well, do you realize what it would cost to feed this multitude?" But they said, "There is a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And our Lord said, "Cause the people to sit down." And he began to divide the loaves and the fishes. You remember, he said, "You follow me because of the loaves and fishes." He began to divide the loaves and fishes and feed the people. And he fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And the people were so impressed with this miracle and so impressed with the fact that this man had fed so many people miraculously, they could envision a great kingdom under his rule. Nobody'd have to work because there'd be no shortage of food. So they were going to make him king. Verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, they said, "Now this is a truth. This is of a truth. That prophet, Deuteronomy 18, that Moses prophesied should come into the world." So when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. He is a king. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he didn't come to set up a Jewish kingdom, an earthly kingdom, a kingdom of flesh and body, meat and drink. The Father sent him to establish a spiritual kingdom, to redeem a people like himself, a holy people. So he went to the mountains, and that evening his disciples entered a ship, and they crossed the sea. They were going to Capernaum, and while they were on that journey, the wind came up in a storm, and the waves were tossing the little ship, and they looked out and saw the Lord Jesus coming to them. He'd come down from the mountain and was walking on the water, coming toward the disciples, and he joined them in the ship, and they went to the other side. And that's when we picked up the reading here in verse 22, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples. The disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after the Lord had given thanks. And they saw that the Lord was not there, verse 24, neither his disciples. They took shipping and came across to the other side, seeking for Jesus. The multitude took ships and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him, verse 25, on the other side, they said, "Rabbi, when did you come over here?" And he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Our Lord talked about his mission to save, his mission to redeem, not to establish an earthly kingdom, which these men want, but to give spiritual life.
to those who believe. And that takes us down to verse 35. And Jesus said to them, verse 35, I am the bread of life. Verse 34, they had said, give us this bread. He said, I'm the bread. I'm the bread of life. I am that bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He that cometh to me believeth on me. I'm the bread. This is what our Lord taught Martha when Lazarus had died. She came running out to the Lord. She missed her brother. She mourned and grieved for her brother. And she said, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. If you'd just been here, he wouldn't have died. Well, he said, he'll arise, Martha. Someday he'll arise. She said, I know he will in the resurrection. But that's not now. I need something now. I know he'll arise. He said, in the resurrection day, he said, Martha, this is what you need to learn. And everybody else, and what he's saying to these people, I'm the resurrection. Resurrection is not an event, it's a person. Life is not a doctrine, it's a person. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, he that feedeth upon me, he who is in a living union with me, he who by grace is married to me, he'll never die. Though he were dead, he lives, because I'm the life. That's what this very thing he taught his disciples when they were so blue and discouraged and sorrowful about his leaving them. He kept telling them in John 14 and John 13 that he was going away. He's going away. And they were so sorrowful and troubled and depressed. And he said to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Believe in me. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go, but I go for you. I go, but I go with you. I go, but I take you. You and I are one. I and you are one. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to the cross for you, to the tomb for you, to the right hand of God for you. We're one. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back for you. We're never separated. That where I am, there you may be also. And the way, you know, Thomas said, no, we don't. No, we don't. We should, but we don't. He said, I am the way. I am the way. Oh, Philip said, show us the way. He said, I am the way. I am the way. I am the bread. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. Truth is not something we learn about Christ. Truth is Christ. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn not from me, of me. And you'll find rest. That's what he's saying here. I am the bread. I'm not something that you believe in here to get something out there. You have it when you have me. He that hath the Son hath life. Is that clear? That means H-A-T-H, got it. That's, see what I'm trying, what he's saying here, and what I'm trying to say is what he said, I am the bread. Give us the bread. I am the bread. Philip said, show us the way. I am the way. Martha said, well, he'll rise someday. He's already risen. He died when I died, rose when I rose. I am. But, verse 36, but I said to you, you've seen me. These religious Jews saw him in the flesh. They heard him speak as no man spake. They witnessed undeniable miracles. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. He came into his own temple, his own people. They received him not. And he says, you've seen me, and you've heard me, and you've witnessed all these miracles. As poor Nicodemus said, you got to be from God. No man could do what you do except God be with him. But he didn't believe. But he said, you haven't believed. Think of the miracles that Israel saw in Egypt. Think of it now. Think of the 10 plagues which they witnessed. The death of the firstborn, the deliverance by the blood. The Red Sea experience. The smitten rock and the water to give enough water to drink, to bathe, to wash for 3 million people out of a rock. The manna from heaven. Yet they didn't believe. Oh, the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, the heart. Who can know it? Desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. You've seen me, he said. You've seen me. And you haven't believed. So, is his mission a failure? Did he come to earth in vain? Is the unbelief of this world? Does the unbelief of this world make the cause of God of non-effect? God forbid. Our Lord rejoices in his heart, and the heart of his people rejoice when he says these next words in verse 37. Oh, he said, you've seen me. You haven't believed. And you won't come to me. But all that my Father giveth me shall come to me. You can be assured of that. Our Lord did this on another occasion. He said, you know, when he was in Matthew 11, he was rebuking the cities in which his mighty works were done. Capernaum, Bethsaida, the different ones. He said, woe unto thee, Capernaum. If the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. Bethsaida, if the gospel preached in you and the works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, those wicked cities, they would have remained to this day. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom in the judgment than for you. And then it says Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven. In the face of this rejection and unbelief, he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, I thank you, Lord of heaven and Lord of earth. You've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but you've revealed it to babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. In John 10, that group of religious Jews finding fault with his message came to him and they said, if you be the Christ, if you be the prophet, if you be the Redeemer, if you be the Messiah, tell us. Tell us plainly.
tell you the reason they were asking that. If he'd have said what they wanted him to say, they'd have took him immediately before Caiaphas, the high priest. Tell us plainly. He said, I told you. But you didn't believe me. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. But you didn't believe me because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My Father which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man can take them out of my Father's hand, because I and my Father are one. And here, he said, you've seen me, but you hadn't believed me. But all that my Father giveth me, they'll come to me. John 17, he talks about these people in his high priestly prayer. If you'll go over there with me, John 17, he talks about these who will come, who will believe. In John 17, verse 2, he says, this is the high priestly prayer of our Redeemer. He's talking to the Father. He said, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that is, the Son of Man, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Then in verse 6, he says, I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. In verse 9, he said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. In verse 11, he says, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. In verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me. In verse 24, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. All that my Father giveth me shall what? Shall come to me. What is it to come to Christ? It's to believe him. It's to receive him, as many as receive him. It's a commitment of heart and of soul and of mind. And of all things, it's to come to Christ. Our Lord, on that great day of the feast, he stood, those people, 3 days they'd been there in the religious feast and going through all of their religious ceremonies and rituals and holy days and fast and all these things, the law, under the law. And they were packing up and putting out the fires and cleaning up and getting everything ready to go back home, just as empty as when they came. Because religion doesn't fill anything but time. And they were all leaving. And he stood on that last day of the feast. And he cried with a loud voice while those people were packing up and leaving, but probably on a hillside. He stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Spirit. You've come to the city, Jerusalem. You've come to the temple, the building. You've come to the ceremony. You've come to the ritual. You've come to this and that. Now you thirsty, you come to me. That's what it means to come to Christ. All that my Father giveth me in eternity past, chosen, elected, they shall come to me. To me. Not to a building, not to a Mecca, not to a holy land, not to a ceremony, not to an ordinance, to me. Like the leper, our Lord came down from the mountain and a leper met him. The scripture says he ran to him and fell at his feet and worshiped him, disregarding the thoughts and words of anybody around him. A leper, dead and dying, helpless, hopeless, and worshiped him. And he said, Lord, you and you alone, if you will, can make me clean. That's coming to Christ. Leaving all, come to me. You come to me. You fellows have heard me say, and you've experienced, witnessed all these things. You hadn't believed on me, but all that my Father giveth me, they'll come. They'll come to me. The soul that on Jesus. And he said, listen, these have come to me, and I'll in no wise, under any circumstances, for any reason, any unforeseen thing, I'll never, no wise, cast them out. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to dislodge and shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never in no wise cast him out. One of the old writers said, the work that goodness began, the arm of the Lord will complete. His promise is yes and amen, and never was forfeited yet. Things future, nor things that are now, nor things below or above, can make him his purpose forego or sever your soul from his love. My name from the palm of his hands, eternity cannot erase. Impressed on his heart also it remains in marks of indelible grace. That's all right, he said. You have seen me and haven't believed. And so many happen. But all that my Father giveth me will come to me. And him who comes to me, I'll never cast out. And then he speaks here in verse 38 as the servant. He says, for I came down from heaven. I know whence I am and whence I came. I came from heaven. I was sent from heaven. Not to do mine own will. He speaks here as the servant, the Father's servant, over in Isaiah 42. Would you turn over there? The Lord Jesus is one with the Father. The Father's will is his will. The Father's purpose is his purpose. The Father's covenant is his covenant. But he said, as the Messiah, as the Redeemer, as the man, the second Adam, as the Son of Man and Son of God, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do his will who sent me. Listen to Isaiah 42. The Father says, behold, my servant. It's the Lord Jesus, whom I uphold. Mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He'll bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He'll not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, gentle, man of sorrows acquainted with grief. The smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he hath set judgment in this earth. And the isles wait, they shall wait for his law. I didn't come to do my will. He was submissive, in subjection, surrendered totally. My Father, not my will. Thy will be done. Thank God for our Redeemer. perfect Son of God, perfect representative, perfect righteousness, perfect atonement. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. A body hast thou prepared me. Lo, I come in the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first and establishes the second. Verse 39. And this is my Father's will which has sent me. This is the sovereign, unchanging will of God, that of all which he hath given me, all whom he elected, all who are redeemed by his Son, all who are called by his Spirit, whom he foreknew, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, all just like him, conformed to his image, love what he loves, desire what he desires, enjoy what he enjoys, to be conformed to the image of his Son, whom he predestinated, he called, whom he called, he justified. We justified and glorified all those who walk in fellowship with him. He says, I'll lose nothing, not a one. But I'll raise him up at the last day. I'll raise him up. This is the Father's will. You want to know what is the Father's will? This is the Father's will. Christ said, this is the Father's will. What is God's will and purpose for this world? This is the Father's will and purpose for this world. This is my Father's will who sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing. Not one. But I'll raise it up again at the last day. And look at verse 40. Now, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him, these people are not only foreknown and predestinated, but they're called. And those who are called hear. And those who hear believe. Election is not salvation, it's unto salvation. When Paul over in Ephesians chapter 1 talked to the church at Ephesus about eternal grace and eternal mercies, he said, God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. But in verse 13 he said, in whom you believe, and in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth. So here our Savior said, all that my Father giveth me, they'll come to me. How shall they come to me? Look at verse 40. They'll see the Son. They'll believe on the Son. They'll embrace the Son. They'll trust the Son. They'll find their rest in the Son. Romans chapter 10 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And here it is. They're going to see him in the gospel preached and believe on him. And they'll have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Now watch this. Whom will he raise? In verse 39, he says, those the Father gave me, I'll raise. Resurrection day. Verse 40, those who see the Son with eyes of faith and believe on him, I'll raise them. Now let's read on. And the Jews murmured, and there'll always be those who murmur. They murmured at him. They murmured at him. And what he said, what did he say? He said, all that my Father giveth me will come to me. He said, I came down from heaven. I'm the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I came to do his will. And he that sees me and the will of the Father in me and believes on me will have everlasting life. And they murmured at that. Because he said, I am the bread. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am all things. And they said, well, you're just Jesus. You're just a man. We know who your father is, Joseph, they thought. We know who your mother is, Mary. We know your brothers and sisters. We know you grew up over here in a town called Nazareth. How can you come down from heaven? This is what our Lord asked the Pharisees. He said, what think ye of the Christ? Who is the Christ? Who is the Christ? Whose son is he? And they said, well, he's the son of David. Well, the Lord said, how can he be David's son and be David's Lord? Because David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. How can he be David's son in the flesh, flesh and bones, blood, born of a woman? How can he be David's son and be David's God? And a hush fell over them. They couldn't answer. That's what these fellows are saying. How can you be God? We know you're a man. And they murmured at that. The miracle of incarnation, the miracle of identification, the miracle of imputation, the miracle of justification, the miracle of representation. This world murmurs at. What they don't understand, they won't believe. And there's murmurs everywhere. And there's murmurs among all religious. Murmur, murmur, murmur. That's what that outfit did over in Numbers. The reason the Lord sent the fiery serpents, they murmured against God. They murmured. We don't like this bread. We don't like this water. We don't like this real wilderness. We don't like our leaders. We don't like the... We want to be back where we were. Well, you will be. That's what God told them. Your carcasses will fall right here in this wilderness. Murmur. And our Lord said to them in verse 43, don't murmur among yourselves. Now let's settle this thing once and for all. No man, regardless of his intellect, regardless of his ancestry, regardless of his environment, regardless of his cleverness, regardless of his morality, regardless of his heritage, no man, no human being, no son of Adam can, see the word can, has the ability, can, or has the will, can, or has the inclination, can, or has the information, can, or has the insight, or the desire. No man can in the flesh because of the fall of Adam, because of the consequences of death and sin. No man, no human being can come to me. Now they can come to a church and they can come to an altar and they can come to a doctrine and they can come to an ordinance and they can come to a table and they can come to a law and they can come to a position of morality and they can come to an AA meeting and they can come to all of these moral counsels, but they can't come to me. To me. Leaving the idols of this world, the idols of religion, come to me. As Saul of Tarsus came to Christ, come to me. He said in John 5:40, you will not come to me. Let another come in his own name. Let these religious hucksters, the world's full of them. And people flock to them, have their checkbooks in their hand, and their wallets, and everything. They'll bring their little ones. Do to my little one what you did to me. Deceive him like you've deceived me. They come to these people. But Christ said, they won't come to me. Let another come in his own name, and him you will follow. I've come in my Father's name, and you don't believe me. But don't murmur. Don't murmur against what I said. All that my Father giveth me will come to me. And I'll never cast him out. I came down from heaven to do his will. Not mine even. His will. And this is his will, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose not one, but I'll raise him up at the last day. And all that see me, we're going to get to this in a minute, see me and believe on me. I'm going to raise him up. And they murmured. Now don't murmur, because nobody can come to me. Listen. Except the Father who sent me on this mission and commissioned me and anointed me, draw him. That's right. John Chapman, you'll never come to Christ unless the Father singles you out and loves you and chooses you and draws you. Isn't that right? That's true, isn't it? Nobody. Not even you, Jim. You didn't come on your own. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things God's prepared to them that love him. But he revealed them to you on purpose. And you're going to believe it. That's right. Except my Father who has sent me, draw him. Draw him how? By his Spirit. And I'm going to raise him up at the last day. These are the folks I'm going to raise. And everybody can talk about, I want to be standing at mother's grave when Jesus comes in his power. Let me tell you something. God Almighty is going to raise, according to this word here, all that he hath given me, and all that see the Son and believe on him, and all whom the Father draws, woos through his word, and makes them willing. That's the ones he's going to raise. Whether it's mother or dad or me or you, or the preacher or the deacon, that's whom he'll raise. I want to be one of those. Now, it's written in the prophets. Here's the last verse. It's written in the prophets. They shall be all taught of God. Every one. Not a one of them going to be missing. Not a one of them going to be ignorant. Not a one of them going to be in a state of not knowing who saved him or how he saved him or why he saved him. Or to what he said, they're going to know. They'll all be taught of God. Taught what? Taught who they are and what they are and what happened in the garden, what happened on the cross. Who Christ is, what he did, why he did it, where he is now. They're going to be taught of God. How does God teach men? Through prophets and apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That we may be taught of God. What does he teach him? He takes the things of Christ and shows them to him. Teaches them. Therefore, every man that hath what? Heard. Hear the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing the gospel. Every man that hath learned of the Father, he comes to me. That's so encouraging. I'm so glad that we have, by his grace, heard the gospel. And I don't find this gospel offensive, do you? I don't find myself murmuring against God's sovereignty. I don't find myself murmuring against our inability. I know our inability. I know that men by nature are interested, men and women are interested in the world. By nature, God's got to give us a new heart and a new nature and give us an interest in things above, things of God. But he has to do it. So we rejoice with our Redeemer in the covenant of grace, the mercy of God through Christ Jesus. We'll continue this tonight in that, starting with that next verse, and talk about that bread of life, the bread of life, Christ, that bread of life. All right, let's sing together number 258.